It's the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Little roller up along first, behind the back, it gets through Buckner. Here comes Knight, and the Mets win it.
See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Oh, I fucking crushed it.
Tuned into Game On with Josh Silverberg and Eric Bowe.
Game On!
Talking all things sports, it's
Game On!
Yeah, Game On!
Game On! Right here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Oh, yep, I knew it was going to happen too. I can't wear the red, Speedy. Going to have to come off during the break. Adrenaline in my soul. Every fight. I'll stop right there. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Game On Live on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. Happy Friday to all of you. I'm your host, Josh Silverberg. My co-host, Eric Bowe. He is out tonight. Called me up last night. He said, I got an event to go to with my son. I said, listen, dude, go be a dad tonight and go do that. Go be a husband, a dad. So he is out tonight doing stuff with his family. But we have Mr. Speedy, Powerful Petey, in the other hot chair. How are you, sir?
I don't know. Powerful is an interesting word.
Talk for a second because I'm going to take this sweatshirt off.
Yeah. We've now done the color discoveries. I think Josh has gone on the full color wheel. Weirdly enough, does not happen in it doesn't happen with me a lot of the time, except for the first time we ever started using the green screens. And it was funny because...
See, that's better.
It's funny because that's the first time we had Charlie Slows on the show.
So he
he got to see that firsthand. And just an interesting full circle with now hosting hosting the show with his son a while back with Off the Mat and everything else that's gone on since then.
Well, you know, it's so funny that everything of that nature... And again, I still get my shows confused at times, right? I still say Off the Mat.
Yes.
Every time. We got a great show for you, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to get to a lot of stuff. Speedy and I talked about it this afternoon. We had a whole thing planned out what we were going to do. And then as I'm driving to go pick Speedy up, like three or four of the topics just like come out of the blue. And obviously, we're going to give you an update on the Masters. What's going on? Tiger Woods making the cut for the 24th consecutive time in a row. So that's a big deal. How about that? Get into a little bit. Darius Slay, what did he say that was so idiotic? We will get into that a little bit later. And I said I wasn't going to bring it up, but then I realized that I forgot about Dwight Gooden getting his number 16 retired by the Mets. That should be a good weekend. If you're going out to Citi Field, it should be, I think, 70 degrees that day. So go check it out for sure. Tom Brady, we're at it again. Another comeback. And why he could do it and why it will not hinder his Fox contract. We'll talk about that. John Calipari now taking over at the Arkansas Razorbacks head coach. Mark Pope. Mark Pope, the former Kentucky Wildcat player who won a national championship under...
Tommy Smith, I believe.
No, it was...
Patino?
Rick Pitino.
Okay.
Yeah, Rick Pitino made a whole speech about it. We'll get into a little bit about that a little bit in the show, about why it's a very weird transition for Kentucky right now, and why do I think Arkansas will be successful at recruiting, but not the team itself on the court will not be as successful. So we'll do that. We'll do a little WrestleMania conversation. Had a lot to talk about. Cody Rhodes, the new WWE Undisputed Heavyweight Universal Champion at the Roman Reigns 365-day reign as champion comes to an end. That's why we played a little bit. We played a little bit of Cody Rhodes' song. As they say, get used to learning the lyrics of Kingdom, because that's going to be going on for a while. But we start with the big news today. Impe, did I say it right? Is it Impe?
Impe!
Misahara has turned himself in. So he is now under federal control So he has turned himself into the authorities about what has happened. And the reports have been now surfacing. If I believe I see, this is the thing. I open it up. He has it set on Yahoo. Why? It should just be on Google. But that's
the great search engine war continues.
I mean, but he's under federal custody right now. He surrendered himself on Friday. It's on ESPN.com. Mishihara was accused of stealing $16 million. And there's other reports. This is not all here, but there's been other reports that have said that he impersonated Ohtani, changed all of his account numbers and everything of that nature, where Ohtani didn't even know about it. Now, the FBI has done a federal investigation on this. The FBI has said that Ohtani has had no involvement in this at all. Am I right or wrong about that?
That's what the investigation confirms.
They have confirmed that. They have said that. Now, I still, you know, obviously, of that nature and everything, you know, look at it in this perspective. To me, I look at where we are in society of where everything has unfolded with Ohtani and everything, right? And, you know, he's looking out there like the guy that didn't know what was going on and everything like that. Now, again, if the FBI has done a thorough investigation, Speed, do you believe the investigation, or do you think Ohtani was still somewhat involved in this and just returning a blind eye to it?
Yeah, I'm willing right now to give him the benefit of the doubt for the time being. I'm not thinking that he's like completely off the hook type thing either. What I'm thinking is this is more than just the one gambling scandal that's going on right now. I think with the amount getting up to $16 million, I feel like it could be even something deeper, not just Ipe being involved too. It could be an intelligence thing. It could be a government thing. Like, who knows what's even going on in Japan, too. And that's why I think there could be other people involved. Maybe Shohei Ohtani's accountants. Maybe there's, like, different accountants he works for. Maybe one of them had something to do with it. So right now, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't know if I mentioned this on your show or on the Loudmouth, because I think if Shohei Ohtani was directly involved with this, I don't think he would have signed with the Dodgers, where sports betting is illegal. I think he would have signed with the Blue Jays, fled the country to involve any U.S. federal investigation. I think he would have signed there if that was the case. I think him signing with the Dodgers, right now I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt for the time being until we know like more of who and what was directly involved, because obviously he's confessed, Ipe, but right now I think the way that this investigation could be, it might just be one part that could have come.
Well, yeah, I mean, exactly. And it really, the whole thing has just been all the scuttlebutt that's going on with it. We're trying to figure out who's doing what, who's telling the truth, everything like that. So we'll see where this goes. I'm not convinced fully that he's off the hook with it, but look, who knows? MLB could be paying the FBI under the rug. We don't know.
I never know with Rob Manfred.
I don't know with him. I mean, like I said, he was on ESPN once during opening night, and a bolt of lightning came out behind him on camera. So that should be a telling situation of everything like that. Tom Brady made more comments today as he said on the Deep Cut podcast that he is not opposed to making an NFL comeback. And it's interesting because when you look at his Fox contract, right? So his contract starts this year. Guess what? If he, and you'll find this amazing, found this out too, if he actually started playing, his Fox contract just gets pushed back. So he never loses the contract. So he can, my guess is in a little of, that to me, what I think is crazy when we look at what Tom Brady is saying. But now, everybody keeps saying, Tom Brady's washed, he's done. I don't know. I feel like I'll give you a perfect example. If the Kansas City Chiefs are 14-1, right? Mm-hmm. Mahomes tears his Achilles. God, I went there, right? Aaron Rodgers too soon. Mahomes is out for the season. You don't think Tom Brady could just get in there with the Chiefs with Andy Reid and be like, start playing well? Though Mahomes is trying to supplant Brady as the GOAT of the sport. But yeah, Brady would be helping him win his Super Bowl account by winning himself a Super Bowl.
Tom Brady and Taylor Swift together? Oh, God. The NFL wouldn't talk about anything else.
I'm just saying, to me, if it's the perfect spot, if the 49ers are on the precipice of, you know, being that dominant force again, right? But mm-hmm. Brock Purdy's, he's doing okay. He's doing very meh. You don't think Kyle Shanahan would give a call to Brady and say, listen.
Yeah, he wants to play there.
I mean, listen. Listen, man. Listen. You want to come back for, you know, a couple games? You got a really good team with you. You got Kittle, Ayuk, Debo. What is it?
McCaffrey.
Got a good defense. It's a nice team you got there. This is the, now, if Brady becomes an owner also, he did mention it too on the podcast. If I become an owner, they're not going to let me do that.
Yeah, you actually can. That technically is
illegal.
You know? Yep.
I'm just saying. Now, again, we all say, like, yeah, haha, it was being funny and everything of that nature. Like, a lot of people are thinking, you know, some think it's a joke, some think it's funny, but, you know, but to me, I never know what he's thinking. I would hope, listen, I think he should just do what he's going to do at Fox. I do think he will be very good at it. I really do believe he will be a good analyst. I feel bad for Greg Olson. He's getting the boot.
Yeah.
But I do think Brady will actually be good at it. Now, you just don't want him to be overbearing like Romo became, where it was like,
yeah.
Oh, Jim, look at over the, he's going to do it over, he's going to shoot it over the moon there. Watch him get out open up like that. Like, too much. We got to tone it down. Gotta know when to tone it down. Gotta know when to relax. And it was cool at first because he was guessing every single play correctly.
Right.
But now it's just like overbearing. What do you now? I'm not obviously. I don't think Tom's coming back. I think it was a little, you know, like they asked him the question like, would you pick up the phone? Like, first off, is he picking up the phone to call them?
Yeah.
Or are they picking up the phone to call him and everything of that nature? But to me, I think it's a matter of where we are with Tom Brady right now. I think, listen, I think he had a nice Patriot retirement ceremony last year. They don't think they retired. Did they retire his
number?
No,
I think it's this year. It's coming.
So the numbers retirement's coming. Last year they just did a ceremony for him.
Right.
This year they're going to retire. He's at peace, I would think. He did the whole thing on the beach. He's happy where he is and everything of that nature. I've said this. I think Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. I don't care. People will say, now is he the greatest regular season quarterback? No, but he's the most clutch quarterback. That's what counts in my eyes and everything of that nature. Yeah, and to me, I don't know. And I'm just trying to have an understanding of where we are with Brady. What were your thoughts when you heard those comments? I mean, you couldn't take him seriously, right?
I mean, it's right now.
I think it's
too
all
far
fun and
away.
Games with him.
It's too far.
No, listen, so our team could call.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I feel like it would be very hard for him to really turn on the 49ers again if they're, like, right there as the best team in the NFC.
No, I know. I think that would
be. I don't think he wants to do it anymore. I think he's had enough. He doesn't want to take the hits anymore. I think he's had, listen, he's at peace where he's at and all that nature. But
yeah. I think, like, maybe that worst case scenario with the 49ers that you described, if either Purdy gets hurt or he is underwhelming, would maybe be the only thing, only because he wanted to play there his whole career. But yeah, that would probably be the only thing that makes sense right now. Because even, like, the ownership with the Raiders, that was the rumors, and now all his expatriate guys are gone from the Raiders now, so they don't have Josh McDaniels and Ziegler and all these other expatriate players that were on the team this year with the Raiders. Like, they don't have that kind of lust anymore. I don't think he would go back to the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers have created themselves a pretty good team without him. And
people were concerned about them when he left, and they're right back to being a decent team. They had a shot against Detroit last year to go to the championship game. They really did. Were close.
Yep. And I don't think with everything going on with the Patriots either, with all this chaos that's been on this offseason, I don't think they would do that either. I think that, like you said, they probably just give him the ceremony and at that point. I think the only thing might be like a worst case scenario with the 49ers type thing.
Yeah, because it was his hometown team and everything like that. I don't know. I think he was just playing around and some people were just taking it, you know, of course, but when Tom Brady says it, you gotta, you know, just report it. That's the only thing. And everything of that nature. John Calipari, Mr. Non-X's and O's, is going to Arkansas for on a 5-year deal worth $7 million. It includes a $1 million signing bonus, so he has left. First off, the whole thing was so funny when the guys were trying to interview him by, like, his house, and he was, like, walking his little dog, and, like, what was it, a stroller or whatever he was doing?
Yeah.
It was the funniest thing. But but John Calipari is moving on. He's going to Arkansas. He has left Kentucky after their first round exit, losing to I believe they lost to
Oakland
and everything. So they're done. He left with winning only one national championship. That is insane with the, and we, I think we discussed this last week with the amount of talent. We discussed the list with Eric. The three of us discussed the list of, where is it? By the way, I'm so ridiculous. I never said how you can listen to us. You can listen to us on worldwidesportsradio.com, Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, YouTube, Periscope, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Podbean, Twitch, and all smart speakers. Did I miss anything, Speedy?
Spotify. Yeah, you said
I
Spotify.
Said Spotify.
Yep. Podbean. Yep. You got. You,
Podbean?
Yep. You got everything. You got everything.
I got everything. I try. Listen, I can only do so much. Everything. We all listen. We all know who the greatest here at this network is. Correct. Well,
I'm just laughing at Stark's.
Can we all? What do I call him, Speedy? I call him Hail what?
Hail Caesar.
Hail Caesar. I always got a Hail Caesar.
I'm just laughing at Stark's comment right now.
Everything of that nature. But we were talking about Calipari. So he goes to Arkansas on a 5-year assignment. It's a really fascinating destination for him to go to. Now, I think they went to the Final Four.
They went to the Elite Eight two straight
years.
Two straight
years.
Arkansas, yeah.
And everything of that nature. But now, again, Calipari, he's going to get the recruits there. My guess is he probably got tired of all the stuff at Kentucky. It was just overbearing for him. And I think it's a blue blood school. It's a hard school. It's one of the toughest college jobs in America.
Yeah.
The head coach of Kentucky. We all can't be like John Shire and Duke and get to an Elite Eight and everything of that nature. I mean, God help us. I mean, oh my God, John, I want the Duke Blue Devils for John Shire, baby. That's what we're talking about. I'm a John Shire guy and everything. But what a loser. Everything of that nature. He did get to an Elite Eight. He did get to an Elite Eight, though.
Yep. Yet he's still 100 times better coach than Greg Gard.
That's not saying much. Right. I think the raccoon that got run over this morning who's dead is a better coach than Greg Gard. But I digress. Be it as it may. What are your takes on Calipari going to Arkansas? Now, obviously, he's going to get the recruits there, but it's not just about getting the 5-star recruits right now. We see Duke has the number one recruiting class this year, but it's not just the 5-star recruits. It's all about the transfer portal now and the nil money. I feel like that's where it lies, and I think a lot of these coaches, like you're seeing, like Saban, Krzyzewski, Brown, he's still coaching Matt
he's
Brown.
At Carolina. And they've been relying on the transfer portal a lot.
I'm watching it for North Carolina.
Roy Williams, who left.
But you're seeing it. It's an interesting concept of how these coaches are leaving because I just don't think they want to put in all that effort anymore with the nil money and the transfer. It's just so much more work where it used to just be, let's recruit the 4 or 5-star guys, get them in here, and let's see where the chips fall. Now it's like double the work, double the time that it's become a headache for a lot of these coaches.
Yeah. It's actually funny you brought up the transfer portal first because John Calipari with Kentucky 2 years ago actually did it very actively.
No, I did not run over a raccoon. I said a raccoon. I said I've seen a raccoon run over before. That was my name.
He's just claiming that any raccoon that's been run over.
And now Stunt's about to have a field day because my mom chimed in.
Yes, but it's funny you mentioned the transfer portal because Calipari 2 years ago was very active with it, finally bringing in some veteran players to help out their freshmen, and because of that, I actually thought that he was turning the tide. It looked like that team was going to do great things, and they still lost in the first round of the tournament against the Peacocks of St. Peter's, and that just shows that Calipari, I think, still has to adjust certain things. Now, you're right, from a transfer portal standpoint, it's going to help a team like Arkansas that's not in a flashy destination, is a good basketball program, but they're mainly known as a baseball school, and in the SEC that's gotten very deep, you're going to need that kind of recruiting advantage to get your program, I'm not going to say back to respectability because they've been good, but like closer to Alabama, Tennessee, what Kentucky was like as regular season powerhouses in the past. And even Auburn now has grown into a very good program. It's a tough conference now, so they're going to need that kind of thing. Now, I do think he has to adjust a little more too, because for one thing, like them trying to win with the way they won with the size, it doesn't work as well anymore. You need good perimeter defense. You need good balance of everything. Like, I'm not saying you should have no size, but like they've lost against these quicker guard teams now. Like this Oakland team they just lost to that was a 14 seed, one of the best 3-point shooting teams in the country, and Kansas State last year. Like, I don't think he has evolved to that. And also, when's the last time you've seen a freshman team like a dominant freshman team win a national championship? It looks like more experienced teams now. So I think he has to adjust his process to get more experience there, guys that are willing to stay and build a program that way. If he does that, he can succeed at Arkansas too, even in a
tough
SEC. But
he's not an X's and O's coach. That's the problem.
Well,
so
sure.
He never will. But look at the talent that he's had at Kentucky, and we went through the list last week. It's ridiculous the amount of talent that he's had, from Anthony Davis to John Wall to, keep going,
Darren Fox. Yeah,
Darren Fox, Devin Booker. Oh man, what's his name? Miami.
Adebayo.
No, Adebayo wasn't Kentucky, was he?
Yes, he was.
Adebayo was?
Adebayo was Kentucky. And Tyler, so Tyler Hero.
That's Hero. I was a good Tyler Hero. Adebayo was also there. I think I said Booker, Nerlens Noel, all these guys. Now, some of them were busts. Obviously, Noel was a bust, but one being a decent defensive player. But only to win one national championship there. Carl Anthony Towns, which is the team I believe. No, Anthony Davis is the one who won the championship with.
Yeah, Anthony Davis was the. Towns was the undefeated season.
You know, Carl Anthony Towns, all these guys that he's had. And then he was also he coached Derrick Rose at Memphis and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And it's really crazy that he only was able to win one. That's the wild thing. And it shows me the X's and O's concept of his game is not there. It really has. I think they've lost in the first round, what, two of the last 3 years?
Yeah, and then the second round last year to Kansas State. And yeah. I mean, that game looked close on paper, but it really wasn't, like, the way if you look at watching the game. And, like, the two teams they lost to are 15 seeds and 14 seeds the other 2 years.
Yeah, so, I mean, it really is a full fascinating thing. And then we get into Kentucky. Mark Pope, former Kentucky Wildcat player, won a national championship under Rick Pitino. Now the new head coach of Kentucky, and a lot of fans are not happy about it because they wanted the flashy, sexy name. They didn't get that. Let's give this guy an opportunity. I understand he's not the flashiest of type of guy because BYU has done okay as a program. Yeah. They've not been great. And again, they were hoping – the guy they were really hoping for was Dan Hurley. But Dan went on record and said – I want to build a dynasty here at UConn. I'm so beloved by my AD, by everybody at the college. I get paid nicely. I'm from New Jersey. Why would I want to leave UConn? Like, why would I want to leave this? And he has a point. Why would he want to leave it? It's a great team. By the way, let's, you know, really quickly plugged, and I don't know everybody else said, I you know, Aaron and I had this argument, you know, UConn or the field. I said UConn. He said I was nuts. He had Purdue, and then there was a conspiracy theory, apparently, for that game. But I don't know where the conspiracy – I think Purdue just got – I mean, listen, I think what – we'll get to in a second, but I think what UConn did was just let Zach Edey score 100 billion points, and they didn't let anybody on the outside shoot the three. That's what they did.
37 out of 60.
Edey could have all the points he wants as long as they don't get the three, and they only took, I think, four threes the whole game.
I know. That was stupid in itself.
UConn did wasn't giving them anything.
Fair enough, but still.
Like, I mean, Dan Hurley's the best coach in the game right now. Bar none, easy to say. And I know that's who Kentucky wanted. But they get an alma mater guy. They get a guy who was there, won a national championship there. To me, I think when I look at the – let's give the guy an opportunity to try what he's done now. Again, he wasn't successfully great at BYU. But to, they wanted the guy from, they want the Baylor, what's his name?
Scott Drew.
They wanted Drew. Drew didn't want to leave. I think Drew won a national championship at Baylor,
yep,
too.
3 years ago.
3 years ago, won a national championship there. He didn't want to leave there. It seems like a lot of people didn't want the Kentucky job. One, they don't want to have the burden of the work that goes into it with Kentucky. And I think, too, I think, honestly, it's as tough of a job as there is in college. Next to probably Duke and NC. If I'm missing anybody else, that's another really, really, really
those
tough
are probably
one.
The top three.
Yeah, I would say UConn. I would say, I mean,
I guess
you want,
Kansas. You could
Kansas
throw in
too.
There, too.
Yeah, but, I mean, Self has done the best. Self got screwed with injuries and stuff this year. That was a big killer for them. And the depth, he knew the depth there wasn't good. I don't like what he said at the end of the year about his kids. I don't think that was really the best choice of words saying that. What did he say? It was like
something like we're looking forward to next year something.
He was already thinking about after the Big 12 tournament. He was already looking towards next year. And I was like, whoa, okay, that's an interesting choice of words to say about your kids on that team, but I digress. The problem was, you know, and Snug said it perfectly. Yeah, that was why I think why they had to do this, because remember the transfer portal started, Speedy, during the tournament, which is so really quick. I just want to get into this with the NCAA and the TV networks. One, why would you start the transfer portal during March Madness? Why? A lot of these kids are not even going to choose yet because they're going to wait for the tournament to be done to choose where they want to go, probably, if they were smart. And two, What does that sound?
It must be a lawnmower outside or something.
It's got to be a lawnmower. Jeez, I didn't know. It sounds like a motor in here. Number two, you have to ask yourself this question, honest and honestly. If you're the networks, now, congrats, by the way, to the women's tournament for outdrawing the men's tournament. Mm-hmm. You know why they did that? Because they were on ABC at 3:30 p.m. on a freaking Sunday.
Yes.
Thank you. Why? Smart. And they had an old world star playing in Caitlin Clark.
And an undefeated team on the other end.
Exactly, in South Carolina. Let's start the freaking game on TBS at 9:15 at night on a Monday. Really? The networks, you know, the network suits are probably sitting there at the table saying, what do you think about not even putting the game on CBS, the main cable network? What do you think about putting it on TBS at 9:15 at night? That's a wise choice on a Monday. That's going to draw ratings. Really? I know the game is in Arizona, but, I mean, you could have started the game at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
It's also like two East time zone teams, too. That makes it even worse.
It's just so stupid. 9:15 at night? Yeah, I know, so, because you're on the West Coast. Of course it works for you.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it sucked. But it was horrible. It really, you can't, first off, the game needs to be on CBS. That's number one. Dun, 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 dun. Like, we think of that tune, right? What network do you think of when you hear that? You think of CBS. You do, and March Madness.
Right.
Or then you think of One Shining Moment. That's like at the end. But I just thought it was crazy that gets right at 9:15 on a Sunday. A Monday. It wasn't even on a Sunday. It was on a freaking Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Speedy, let's towel off here. What do you say? Take up a little quick break. When we come back, do a little bit of a Masters leaderboard update. I know there's a couple of updates right now. There's a three-way tie at the board, so we'll get into that. Tiger Woods makes the cut for the 24th time in a row. Why he is needed for the Masters and the ratings to draw. And what did Darius Slay that was so idiotic that even the Worldwide Sports Radio Network might have to cancel him if he was on this network? We'll get into that. Plus, the You're Better Than Nats. We got that. And so much more right here on Game On.
You're listening to the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Game On!
Game On!
We're back.
The juice is gone!
You're listening to Game On with Josh Silverberg and Eric Bowe.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are back for the second half of Game On live right here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. Don't forget you can check us out at worldwidesportsradio.com, Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, YouTube, Periscope, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, all smart speakers, and, of course, is there any more left?
No.
I think I said all of them again.
Yeah, you're good.
Wow, okay. I think and the number is 61-672-3108. I almost got that right. See, I forgot the last four digits. So I wanted to make sure of it. You could call in, of course. Quick update on the Masters. Max Homa, Scottie Scheffler, and Bryson DeChambeau. Tied right now. Scheffler is on the 13th, right as he's through 13th. So he's still going. So he has a chance to take the lead. Actually, he's on the 14th, he's about to go on the 15th, so it's a little behind everything of that nature. But we have a three-way tie between DeChambeau, Scheffler, and Homa. And now Tiger Woods making the cut for the 24th consecutive Masters, which is a new record. He shot a plus. He shot an even today. He's at plus one. He's probably not going to win it, of course. But, hey, listen, crazy things have happened. And we all know we need Tiger in this thing because it makes it fascinating for the weekend.
Yes.
And everything of that nature. I know people will be tuned in to the Masters regardless. Of course, I've always wanted to actually go to Augusta at some point in my life and just to just try it, you know, just to see it, just to go to a Masters tournament, see what the crowd feels like. I don't know if Jeff's ever been to one.
Probably.
Of that nature. I would love to go to it, but I think you agree with this. I'm going to watch the Masters this weekend as well. It's a jam-packed weekend at the end of the NBA and the NHL season. Got baseball, NFL draft, which I know we're going to work on getting a guest for Friday. We're going to work on getting guests for next Friday because we're not going to be on until round two of the draft later that week. But you might see me pop in on that draft show Thursday when the Jets pick. I'm going to walk in. Did you see what they did, those morons? Or I could say, hey, look, they traded down. Good for them. They got the second round pick. Very good. Good job. I hear they like the kid from Washington now.
Mm-hmm.
Atanu. Because he plays guard and tackle.
Yep.
They like him. And they like Taylor, the wide receiver from LSU, I'm hearing too. That could be a reach, though. I think they might just do it because they know Odunze, Neighbors, and Harrison Jr. are going to be gone.
He's a big-bodied receiver that ran a 4.35.
He's great. Any LSU guy, I'll take it. Yeah. Because they all seem to really thrive at this point.
Yeah, except for Reuben Randall. That was it.
Well, I'm saying the last couple of years. But, you know, anything like that.
Fair enough.
And, you know what I'm saying? So everything of that nature. But like I said, going back to the Masters, it's always a fascinating. That and the U.S. Open, I always find fascinating to watch. Speedy, I'm sure you'll be. I know you're not a big golf guy.
No,
but
I do usually watch like the last 2 days of each major.
I'll watch it, and then my wife will sit there and be like, what is happening? Mm-hmm. Why is this on TV? And I'll just be like, because it's the Masters. Everybody watches this. Come on. But I do hope that, you know, I could go to Augusta one day. WrestleMania came and went, and I had a great time watching it. I thought it was a really solid show. Night one was okay. You had The Rock and Roman Reigns beating Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. And then you had, and I've been a wrestling fan for 27 years, and Jeff always makes fun of me, and it's cool. I don't care, and everything I like, and everything like that. I probably saw the greatest 8 minutes in my lifetime watching wrestling. I saw in an 8 minute span, I see the Usos come out, they fight first, then John Cena comes back, he fights Solo Sikoa. Then The Rock comes out, he fights John Cena. Then The Undertaker Gong comes off, he fights The Rock. This all happens in an 8 minute span. Did you catch up with all that, Speedy?
No.
You had the Usos, the twin brothers fighting first.
Okay.
Solo Sikoa comes out, he beats up Cody. Then John Cena comes back. John Cena, you know how big he is, beats up Solo Sikoa. Then The Rock comes out. He doesn't like it because he's Roman's cousin. He beats up John Cena. Then the Gong goes off for The Undertaker. You know who that is?
Yeah, so far only the second guy I don't know. I don't recognize.
Well, Solo Sikoa. That you're not going to know. Then he chokeslams The Rock. And then Cody Rhodes wins the match. After Seth Rollins came out in the Shield theme. That comes out of left field. It's the greatest 8 minutes of wrestling I ever saw. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
And everything of that nature. It's like, you don't have to apologize. Golf is not that great on TV. It's not. I agree to 100%. But with the Masters, it's, you know, you're going to watch it. Everything of that nature, trust me. But it was a blast watching. I had a great time watching it. I'm not even kidding. The only thing that would have made it better if I had won a Snug's Cupcakes. That would have made it a million times freaking better. That would have made it much freaking better.
Except don't give him any ideas. He'll probably send it to your dad.
My dad would probably be like, what is this? And I'd be like, just try a bite. It'll make you feel better.
I'm surprised Snug hasn't made your dad
that a Captain Lou Albano came up with a chair. Oh, God. But no, it was a really great solid show for 2 days. They haven't announced where it's going to be yet next year. Everything of that nature. To me, I think it's going to be in Minnesota next year. I know Raj came on last week and said he thinks it's going to be in Vegas. Oh, if it's in Vegas, that's awesome. I might have to go. I have to push down my wife. considering the fact that I got 2 AEW pay-per-views going to this year, I have a second shot on the way. You're going to have to push down her. I don't know if she's going to let me go. That's going to be a tough sell. But, I mean, listen. WrestleMania, Errol said to me that day, he goes, if it's in Minnesota, I want to go. So Errol told me, he goes, I want to go to Minnesota with you. I said, dude, I'm not going to Minnesota in freaking I'm not going to Minnesota in April. He goes, I like Minnesota. I said, good for you. Then you go. I'm not going, what am I going to go to Mall of America? What am I going to do? I'm going to go to the WrestleMania World Store every freaking day? What am I going to do? You're also not going to get the shows that you would normally get because here, Philly is close to New Jersey, New York, so you could get the indie shows. You get it in Vegas, you get a lot of indie shows. California, you got LA, you got the indie shows. How many indie shows are really going to show up in Minnesota? I don't know. Speedy, you want to go?
To an indie show?
You know what I mean? I'm not leaving. Well, actually, Snug says leave the kids with Errol. He's got a lot of nephews, so I mean, it could work out. I don't know.
A great collaboration.
But I could tell you this. If Mania, I feel like this is the only way I could convince my wife to go. If I could convince Melissa to go. If it was in L.A. again, or if it was in, like, Chicago. Because she's always wanted to go to Chicago. If it was in Chicago, I said to Melissa, hey, you want to go to WrestleMania?
Right.
She'd be like, I have to think about that. Like, and it would kill her to say that. She'd be like, impossibly. She would say impossible. If it was in L.A., she would say that's a possibility, maybe. We couldn't go last year because, like, Caleb was barely won, so we couldn't even go last year. If it, you know, maybe Florida, south, down south, maybe. Anywhere else, she'd be like, nah, I don't care. I'm not going. Like, if even if it was in New Jersey, she'd be like, I'm not going to that crap. You could go to that. I'm not going to that. But I got two AEW pay-per-views to go to this year. I got Forbidden Door at UBS, and then I got Full Gear at Prudential, which is great because when Forbidden Door happens, my summer vacation has started, and when Full Gear has started, I'll be on my maternity leave. So it's great. Works there out for me. It doesn't work out for Lyle. Works out for me. Everything but, you know, listen, what are you going to do? Yeah, everything and everything like that.
Lyle has other Premier League responsibilities.
Oh, God, don't even give me, please, I'm telling you, man. Yeah, well, no, he's going. Oh, he's going. He told me we're going, and I said, that's fine, we're going. But I'm just like, I told him, I said, don't complain to me how tired you are the next day, because I'll be sleeping, you know, honestly, with me, when I have my second kid, I'm going to be getting up at freaking all throughout the night feeding the baby. You know what I'm saying? Because remember, in the beginning, the baby's in the It's obviously not in the crib. It's in the
stroller.
No.
High chair.
No, it's in the bassinet in the bedroom. It's in the bassinet in the bedroom. So the baby's right next to you the whole night. And then Caleb's just about to turn three, and he's having terrors of T-Rexes in his closet now. So we're at that stage.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
So I'm just like, you know, I don't know. I'm at the point of, like, because, you know, these are when they usually at 2.5, 3, they start to have their night terrors. This is usually when it happens and everything of that nature.
I can't wait till there's a WrestleMania, some WrestleMania event in England, and Lyle will want to take you there.
Yeah, but tell you, there's reports. First of all, I can't go to a WWE show with him. He would just trash it the whole freaking time. It would drive me nuts. But he's, you know, I can't. Can't do it.
Or any not WWE, I guess, specifically. Just any
they
wrestling.
Do. They do. They have AEW. They have All In. All
right, yeah. So can't wait till Lyle tries to learn.
Every year
England.
They do it at Wembley. They did it. They do it at Wembley. I'm like, he could go to that. But be it as it may, let's get to what Darius Slay said. Darius Slay said, RIP OJ Simpson. What else did he say in that tweet, Speedy? Do you remember what else he said in that tweet?
Okay.
Because it's fascinating. How a guy could not read the room. As stupid as he is, Darius Slay.
Darius Slay.
That is something that would get him fired from the network here. And Arrow doesn't get rid of anybody. I mean, he's kept some interesting people at this freaking network. Some that were hosts of the show. Not me. Others interesting people. But I'm just saying, to me, what, you know, what did he say? Did you get it? I bet you I pull it up before you do. Should we place a wager on this, Speedy?
I don't really care about betting money on this.
Let me see. Okay, hold on. Hold on. We're going to get it. Oh, here we go. Oh, man.
He's so controversial on Twitter that all his tweets just come up.
Oh, no, it was just RIP OJ. RIP OJ. And then he had a praying hands.
Okay.
Really?
No, you're right. I thought there
really?
Was something else, too.
That's what he put. Really? And he hasn't deleted it still. The moron. Has somebody literally, like, doesn't he have a PR person to say, like, maybe you shouldn't put that out there? The best idea? Said he murdered two people. And then he still went to jail later on for robbing a house that had his own memorabilia in it.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we doing here? Speedy, any thoughts on that one?
Yeah. It's basically the same as you. Like, seriously, like, that's not something to be praised in a positive way. It's, come on. Like, Darius Slay's, yeah, he's been crazy in the past for one thing, but still, like, you don't need to go, like, pulse it too far. You can mention something with it.
Why mention anything? Read the room. He murdered people and robbed the house.
Yeah, if you're going to mention it not in a positive light like that, like, he's like,
it actually was kind of a divide of the country at that moment, because remember the Rodney King stuff had just happened and it was already dividing the country there.
Yep.
And that added to it. the country's going to hell in a handbasket. This freaking place. I'm just saying. I'm not going to get into it.
Darius Slay has entered hell in a handbasket.
Oh, well, listen. If he plays better, then he would talk on Twitter like he did this past year. Maybe the Eagles would have been decent, but, you know, I digress. Congrats to Dwight Gooden's going to get his number 16 retired this Sunday. Speedy, you going to the game?
I am not.
Why?
Because I don't have the wherewithal of online money to be able to buy tickets.
Now, Speedy, if I said to you, Speedy, I'll buy you a ticket to go to the game Sunday with me. You want to go? Would you say yes?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Maybe we'll go to the strawberry game together.
What day is that?
I don't know, but my phone was alive.
Your phone is alive.
Yeah. I don't know. Find out when the strawberry game is. I'll take you to that game. Maybe I'll take you to that game. We'll go to what game? It's got to be in June, isn't it? Well, it should be June 30th.
June 1st.
Oh, shoot. Why do I feel like I'm doing something June 1st? Wait, hold on. I'm serious. Hold on.
Uh-oh, check the...
What time's the game?
June 1st. It's 4:10.
This could work out. Because Caleb has his last day of soccer at 11:30. So this could work out. So maybe we'll look into it. We'll get look at how much are tickets right now on Vivid Seats or whatever the website that you would look on for a secondary market. Or even Mets.com. It's probably freaking not that expensive. Because I'm trying to think, what the hell do I have? I feel like I have something June 1st.
Of course, they only want to list April right now. 40, lowest was 43, but it doesn't show much.
Oh, that's nothing. 43? That. Yeah, I'll look into it with you, Speedy. I'll take you into the game, maybe. We'll go together.
Alrighty.
Hey. I'd say wait the night before. That's what I did for Old Timers Day. I got in. I paid like $40 to go to Old Timers Day. It was nothing.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Wait the day before. It was beautiful weather. It was a fun day. The team had a 101-win season. They crapped the bed in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's how I know it was good, because we had to do a weekend crutch episode while Max Scherzer was getting lit up like a Christmas tree in October.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah.
And you said the Padres were going to win that series, too.
I did.
I agree with you. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, to me, what are you going to do? But congrats to Doc. Doc really wanted to finish his career with the Mets. The Mets refused to do it. Because the Wilpons are stupid.
the first of many dumb things by
Wilpons. Well, I mean, look, they were giving his number away to Danny Muno and Daisuke Matsuzaka and Rick Ankiyo and Travis Jankowski got the number when Cohen first took over. So, yeah. But Cohen did right. So, I mean, you know. And then the next question is, who's going to be the next after Strawberry? Is it going to be David Wright? I think it should be Gary Carter.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. David Wright will get his. He'll get his flowers, David Wright. I'm wondering if Reyes does too, maybe. I don't know, because of the controversial character that he's had in the past. So we'll see. I know Wright was a very clean-cut kind of guy.
That's more likely.
He had a Hall of Fame trajectory before all the injuries happened, I believe. If Scott Rolen got in, I believe he was going to have that kind of same
There's a lot of that in that boat, too. Like, I would say probably Ryan Zimmerman's another one kind of in that boat, too.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Yeah. That was that whole class. It was, Zimmerman, Wright, and who else was the third baseman in the league that year? There were the three big honchos. It was Wright, Zimmerman, and there was somebody else that was so good in 2006.
Well, Beltre was at that time. So.
No, but there was like a specific... Let me see. The top third baseman in 2006. Let me see. Hold on, I'm going to get it.
Because I would have thought Rolen like that, too, would have been in that same similar type of
mold.
No,
I don't. It wasn't Rolen. I'm trying to think. Who were the top 23rd baseman for 2006? Okay, so you had A-Rod Cabrera, Wright. No, that wasn't it. Oh, man. Why the hell do they have Ryan Zimmerman on this freaking list?
Yeah, they should, because...
Maybe it was 2007, I think, because Zimmerman was just coming in.
Right, and Chipper Jones was still with the Braves, but he was older then.
No, it was somebody specific. A-Rod Cabrera, Wright, Ramirez, Figgins, Braun. Because I know Zimmerman and Wright went to... They were in...
Aramis Ramirez.
You know what I'm thinking of? I think I'm thinking of B.J. Upton, because they went to the same high school.
Oh, and yeah.
Because they went to the same high school in Virginia.
That's right.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of. Sorry. Well, congrats to Doc on getting the retirement. Long overdue. Little, should we get into a little basketball and a little hockey? We want to?
Why not?
All right. I mean, we got some time left. We did all the topics. That was pretty good. We fit all that in. Boy, oh boy. Or anything of that nature. Let's get into what has transpired these last couple of days. So there's a lot to unpack. We'll do the NHL first. The Rangers have a debacle last night against the Flyers. What a disgrace that was. Nothing worked. And all of a sudden today, Filippito comes. He's like the Undertaker coming out of the casket when he raises up. It's insane. He just came out of left field. And now all of a sudden, there's reports that he could be playing in the playoffs. Which, if he does, by the way, I would totally put him on the first wing. First line right wing with Kreider and Zibanejad.
Just coming back?
100%. Throw him right in there. Let's go.
Okay.
Who else you can, what else are you going to do?
I understand it from the structure of the team. I'm just talking about, like, you want to get him reacclimated playing against first-line defense in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's fine. Listen, I think he's the best right-winger they would have on the team to put him on the top line because you're not going to mess up the Wenberg-Kako-Cooley line. The only thing you could do is you put Hedo back on the line with Cooley and Kako because it was working earlier in the season. But the thing is, Wenberg's had chemistry now with the guys. Rossovic I would take out, put Hedo in. Leave Rempe in with Goodrow and VC, and do the defensive lines of Keandre Miller and Braden Schneider, which they should have been doing.
Yeah.
It worked before Trouba came back. Trouba's come back, and he's a disgrace of a player the way he played it. I love Greg Kaplan, my man. I'd love to get you back on the show, dude, seriously, because we haven't – come on. You got to put – I would put Zach Jones back on the – I would put Zach Jones – they're not. Apparently, they're stuck on Gustafson because they want Gustafson with the big body guy in the playoffs. That's what they want. I don't know why, but it is what it is. But Trouba's going to be on the third pair of defense, it seems like. And they're trying to protect the $8 million man right now. And remember, Drury did not give that contract. That was a Jeff Gordon contract. Mm-hmm. That was not a Chris Drury contract. That was a Jeff Gordon contract. I just don't understand why David Quinn, Gerard Gallant, and now Pierre Laviolette are so gung-ho on putting Miller with Trouba. It doesn't work. It hasn't made sense forever.
Right.
So why do it?
Yeah, it's two bigger bodies that you could balance out. So.
It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Trouba is a third pair defensive guy. They need to find a way to get rid of that contract. I don't care how they do it. I know he's the captain of the team. Listen, I could give a damn. They traded Ryan Callahan and Ryan McDonough. And those two were a million times better than what Jacob Trouba is for the Rangers. If you could trade Ryan McDonough and you could trade Ryan Callahan, who are much more useful, impactful players for the Rangers, get rid of this guy. Am I right or wrong?
Well, yeah, you look at the trajectory with the way the Rangers
and the salary cap's going up next year.
With the Rangers' defense is going up with the young players, like they definitely have leeway to do that. Now, you're right, for the playoffs, they definitely should have him be third pair. I usually care more about like the amount of minutes combined more than I do who's playing with who. But
he can't play against top pair lines because the problem is he can't defend the rush.
Yeah,
and you leave Miller out to dry every freaking time, and Miller looks like a disaster to him.
Right, Miller, when he's had lapses this season, has been mostly based on awareness stuff more than it is with like his.
Well, Trouba just stands around.
Yeah, and
what does Trouba do on the ice? What do you see him do?
Truba's not the one that's supposed to have those lapses, and sometimes he does.
What does he do, Trouba, most of the time? What do you see him doing?
Yeah,
what does he do? He stands in front of the net. Trying to check a guy. Yeah. I don't know what he's doing.
He's indecisive a lot of the time. And Keandre Miller has sometimes had those issues with the indecisiveness, but he's a younger player. You would expect that more out of him, not Trouba.
And then you have the Hurricanes right now. They're trying to catch the Rangers. They have, I believe,
they're at 107 right now with a game at hand on the Rangers. So
yes, but the thing is, if the Rangers win their final two, they would win. They would win out. If the Rangers win the last few games, they win the Metro. And then you have the honors with them right now, but your kids here, Varlamov's been playing out of his mind. He's been playing great. He's probably going to be player of the month, as he should. But now Noah Dobson is hurt, and they need to figure that out because that's a massive blow to them. They had to go to overtime with Montreal yesterday. You saw, without Dobson, the team that they could have without him, and it's tough. It is very tough.
Yeah.
But the honors are getting it done. They have a big game tomorrow. I'm not looking for the Ranger retribution. I'm looking for the freaking win. And, like, I feel like there's no dogs on this team, on this Ranger team. There's too much finesse. There's no dogs.
Yeah.
Like, there's some guys on here, like, that are, like, Wenberg is to me a dog.
Yeah.
Lindgren is a dog. Like, those are dogs.
Yeah, except that gets him hurt.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, guys like Mika. I don't hear the dog in him. Like, you can't be telling me after the game we came out flat and not prepared. Dude, it's the 80th game of the freaking season. What do you mean you came out flat and you weren't prepared? What are you doing? And I love Peter Laviolette, too. Like, let's go, man. Get your team together. Because here's the thing. If they play the Islanders in the first round, they lose. That 2 years in a row, they lose to the Devils and the Islanders in the first round. Drury's out. No way is Dolan going to accept that. There's no way.
Yeah.
You can't lose to the Devils and the Islanders back-to-back years. But I do... I agree. I think they're going to win the last two games. I think they'll win tomorrow, and I think they'll win Monday against Ottawa, and I think they'll win the one seed. I think they'll play. Gosh, I mean, it's looking like Pittsburgh right now, which would be fascinating.
With everything 2 years ago. With
yeah, exactly. With everything like that. I mean, they'll be playing. It won't be Jari. They'll be playing Nedeljkovic. This time around, we'll see if Detroit catches up. I think the Islanders will play Carolina, and I think Boston's going to play Tampa, and Toronto's going to play Florida. And I think that's what it's going to be. And then in the West is a whole...
They're pretty much set. It just depends on seeding.
Like, yeah, like I know Dallas is going to get the one seed, I would imagine, right?
Yeah. The other two teams are tied 5 points back each, both of the game at hand. But it's 104, and the Dallas is 109 right now.
So. Yeah, so I mean, you're going to get what? You're going to get Dallas against...
Right now it's Vegas. Vegas is at 92.
What a coincidence! Mark Stone is playing able to do non-contact drills, ladies and gentlemen. Right before the playoffs. So Vegas, didn't see that coming.
Vegas has 92. They have one game at hand on Nashville, who has 95. Those are the two wild card teams right now. And, yeah, there's no way Nashville will catch up to Colorado. So it's kind of locked.
I think the team that screwed is Vancouver right now. They lost Demko. I don't know when he's coming back. And the problem is when he does come back, it's going to be in the middle of the playoffs.
Yeah, which he doesn't have a lot of playoff experience anyway, so it's not going to help.
And I feel for – I actually feel because Tocchet's had a great year with them. I said Tocchet should be coach of the year. Unless Philly makes the playoffs. If Philly makes the playoffs, then I think it should be Tortorella with that freaking team. But again, this also goes to my point of why, if I'm the Rangers, I'm very nervous to play a Tortorella-led team in the playoffs. People say I'm crazy. The Flyers don't have talent. Doesn't matter. Tortorella teams in the playoffs are a nightmare matchup. They're going to go at you hard. They have nothing to lose. They got Konechny on that team. They got some nice Owen Tippett, right? Did I say it? Is it Owen Power?
No, that's
Owen Tippett. Owen Tippett is up to get up. They got good players on that team, man. That's the NHL update. In the NBA, the Knicks lambasted the Celtics yesterday. I don't think the Celtics really... Listen, we're going to give the Knicks their flowers, right? They earned it. The Celtics did try, but I think they realized later on, they're like, I didn't like what Joe Mazzulla said after the game. He said the Knicks were a desperate team. What?
Based on what?
Based on what? Exactly. They're going to get the 2 or the 3 seed. What are they desperate for, dude? What the hell are they desperate for? They're not desperate. Dude, Mazzulla, let me tell you something. A playoff series with Tom Thibodeau versus Joe Mazzulla, God, I think that could be a... Now, Boston's going to have the talent.
Yeah.
But that would be a nightmare matchup for the Celtics. Tibbs again. Can you imagine you get an Eastern Conference Finals Bruins-Rangers, and you get an Eastern Conference Finals Celtics-Knicks? The Pirates are real legitimate... possibility this could happen.
Yeah. The two stadium crews are going to have a tough time.
Oh, my God. There is a real legitimate situation where the teams could just travel with each other on the bus together. Yeah. I mean, this really could happen.
No, yeah, because the Knicks have the best playoff identity, I think, of those other
Knicks, let me tell you something. You want to talk about a team that has dogs? The Knicks have dogs on that team. Hart, DiVincenzo, Brunson, Robinson, OG... It just goes. And now Bogdanovich is starting to fit in with his shooting, which is huge for that team. You're starting to see him come out. McBride, they go hard. Do you notice, like, they haven't had really, like, any blowout losses this year, except when, like, there were so many injuries. Like, they really didn't have any blowout losses.
Yep.
Every game was pretty tight for them this year. They have, you know, Hartenstein. Like, Hartenstein's out tonight because they're monitoring the hamstring. Like, I would almost sit Brunson tonight and let McBride just play. They're playing the Nets.
Yeah.
Seriously. Like, honestly, like, just, like, because honestly, and I hate to say it, I think the Bucks are throwing games. Because they don't want the 2 seed. Because the Milwaukee knows they're going to have to probably, I think Philly's going to catch Indy. But Milwaukee knows they're going to have to play Miami.
Oh, yeah. That
I think they're 100% throwing these games. Because the Knicks, if they win the 2 seed, the Knicks are probably going to play Miami in the first round. That is sucky.
So then Milwaukee, if Philly catches up to the 6th seed, yeah, that would be their
And honestly,
first.
And I thought losing Randall would be a killer for this team. OG's the most important guy. Obviously, other than Brunson, OG's the guy.
Well, yeah, Randall is not the one you would want from an efficiency perspective.
And Cleveland's trash. Cleveland's trash. They suck. Indy's interesting. I think Indy's just as good as Cleveland. I think Cleveland is
so Well, their defense is suspect, Indiana, but they definitely have enough scoring.
Cleveland is garbage. What I'm hearing now is they're going to trade Mitchell in the offseason, but I'm not even hearing the Knicks as the team anymore for the rumored team. Now I'm hearing, like, the Lakers are the Heat.
The Lakers were interested in him at the trade deadline.
Yeah, but I'll say the Knicks are not interested in him anymore, really. It's almost like, because you know why? Because he doesn't really fit in with what the Knicks are trying to do.
Yeah, they have so much wing depth already.
I'd rather them go in and get DeJounte Murray and just add to the defensive three-point shooting and move DiVincenzo on the bench. So it's just my opinion. I think Murray fits as much as Mitchell does. But who knows?
Yeah, Mitchell again.
He doesn't fit anymore. I think that ship has sailed. I think they're starting to see him also with injury issues, and I think he still wants to go to the Knicks. But
I do too.
I just don't know if. Listen, I think the Knicks are totally. I mean, we'll see what they do next year. But listen, obviously, I think it goes. The Celtics are the best team in the East right now, right? With the talent, I think.
Yeah.
Who's the second best? There's the conversation.
I would say the Knicks.
It's probably the Knicks. The Knicks have the most depth, and then you're gonna go down the other tiers of Miami and Indy. And I gotta give Indy. I'm gonna say I know they're seventh right now in the conference. I don't care. Miami's third because they got Butler in the playoffs.
Fair enough.
I don't care. Milwaukee doesn't have Giannis right now, mm-hmm. Which, by the way, they're playing better all of a sudden without him. That's an interesting.
Will that work in the playoffs?
Listen, Doc Rivers is going to lose in the playoffs anyway. It doesn't fucking matter.
Fair enough.
Philly's starting to play well with Embiid.
Yeah, they're another one to watch.
I would say they're probably fourth because they got Max, Maxie, who's having a career year. So I'd say they're probably
better
fourth.
Depth than last year.
Yeah, I would say they're probably fourth. I would then say. I'll give Milwaukee fifth because they still have Lillard. They got Giannis will come back, and then they got Middleton, who's washed, I think, at this point. But Rivers stinks, you know. And then everybody was saying like they should fire Rivers now. I'm like, you can't fire two coaches in one freaking season. You can't do that. Like, it's just a mess. And meanwhile, Giannis signed out a stupid extension, which I said to them, like, why are they doing that? Why did he do that? He shouldn't have done it. Now he's stuck there. He shouldn't have done that. Because I wouldn't be surprised if Lillard left.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're stuck to square one. He's stuck there again with nothing. Stupid. So I think they're there. I think Indy is the next best team. And then you go to, like, the mess of, like, Atlanta and Chicago and this crap and everything like
no,
that.
No, they're not good
at and then the West, you got, obviously, Denver's one. Right? Denver's the best team.
Yep.
You want to say OKC's two?
I do like them the most because
Alexander and you know, and everything like that. Everybody was like so funny, like, oh my God, the Knicks, that's a tough loss. They lost to the freaking number one seed in the Western Conference at the time on the road without, without Adenobi and Randle. And those, come on, really? They almost won that freaking game. They lost on a buzzer beater shot by Alexander.
Right.
Come on. I would say. Probably Minnesota's third. You want to say Minnesota?
I think you kind of have to at this point if when Towns is healthy.
If Towns is healthy. I mean, because that's the thing. I feel like there's like a bunch of tiers. But I really want to say Phoenix, but they're just not putting it together. Mm-mm. They got to break that team up, man.
Yeah, I think both like Phoenix and the Clippers are kind of in the same boat. Like they had their
shot. I like the Clippers. Actually, I forgot about the Clippers. I think they're peaking at the right time. If they stay healthy with Kawhi, it's a good team.
Yeah, it's more with them is more of can they alleviate what James Harden could mess up is another just.
Well,
question.
I mean, but at least they have Kawhi and George are guys that can fill in for that. Like Kawhi especially can do the role. I like the Clippers. I put the Clippers I'd probably put the Clippers ahead of the Timberwolves. I would say that. I would do that out of respect for those guys, and I'd probably say Minnesota fourth. You want to say fifth, and it gets a little interesting.
Yeah, there's no obvious one after
it's after. I mean, who's?
It's Dallas and New Orleans are five.
Yeah,
and six
I mean
right now.
Dallas, I can't figure out with them. I mean, they got Luka and Kyrie, but I can't figure them out. And then the Knicks finally get that first round pick this year. They'll probably trade it. who you said
New Orleans New is Orleans, 6 and Sacramento's 8 right now.
They should be better than New Orleans. I don't understand. And Zion's finally playing. It just doesn't – I don't know. Is it because Ingram's out?
Yeah.
I mean, that could be what it is because Ingram is one of their better players. Is he out for the season, Ingram?
I think they're going to bring him back in the playoffs. It's just how effective.
How's Zion doing
be,
this year? Is it, like, mediocre?
No, Zion's been fine. It's just a matter of, like – he's not played in the playoffs a lot because he's always hurt.
Does Errol think he's still going to the Knicks? Not anymore, right?
I don't think so.
Not with Barrett gone.
Yeah.
Right. And then you got the play-in, which is going to be – you're going to get Lakers-Golden State as a play-in game. And then, and then you're going to get Phoenix-Sacramento as a play-in game.
Yep. All the old teams plus the Kings.
Hey, listen, whichever team is the one seed, which right now is who? That would be –
that's Denver right now.
Denver's fine. It's I guess who's ever no. Actually, the team that gets the freaking two seed is gonna get screwed.
Which is currently Minnesota on a tiebreaker. I guess
they might have to play freaking. They might have to play freaking Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, we had yesterday on the show Dave Benz, who used to broadcast with the Minnesota Timberwolves for a while, and he was even saying like he doesn't want to play any of those veteran teams. The
no,
Warriors
it's,
or the
it's,
Suns.
It's, no, they're gonna get killed. I think, but be it as it may, that's a little NBA update. We'll do more NFL draft stuff. Like I said, we're going to get some Speedy, we'll work on getting some guests for next Friday, right? You'll throw some names at me and we'll reach them out to them. And
alrighty.
We'll do that because that's our last show before the draft because we're going to be in the second round and then your draft madness on next Thursday, which, again, I have never been to a draft show. Errol's asked me for years to come to a draft show. I wasn't even here when I was on the Sports Loudmouths. I don't think I was even at that episode.
No, I don't think I don't think we did it on
Thursday.
No,
we didn't do it because
then.
it was a birthday or something of some sort.
No, I don't think our show was even Thursday then. I think it was Monday and Wednesday we did it then.
Oh, yes, you're right.
I don't think we did Thursday at that time.
Yes.
Chaz was on at that time on
Thursday.
Yeah,
no. Errol's been asking me for years to come, so I might just stop by and be like, "Here we go. Jets are going to take Fatanu from Washington. This is good." That's what I want, but let's trade down and get extra picks. Oh, they're going to take Brock Bowers. Oh, Errol's going to have a conniption about it. I don't know why.
I don't think he should. I'm not saying he shouldn't. Like
Everybody I'm hearing, apparently Sauce and Wilson love him. I'm hearing George Kittle comparisons. If they could get a George Kittle out of this draft, really?
Like
I'm hearing Aaron Rodgers likes him.
I would draft an offensive lineman at 10 if I were the
Jets. I would trade down.
I'm saying if they can't trade down. I'm saying if they can't trade down, I still would draft a good offensive lineman if they're there at 10 because I think they will be. But I don't think any Jets fan should be mad at drafting Brock Bowers.
No, I think it would be – listen, if Rodgers wants him and clearly a lot of Jet players like him, do it. Do what you think is best. But I would trade down and get the extra second round pick.
Yeah,
but that's just my opinion.
If they can trade down, there's.
I think they can. You could trade down. I think if there's, like, all of a sudden you're hearing Mike Penix could now be rising into the first round. If there's a team that's so desperate for a quarterback, like if Denver needs a quarterback, you don't think they would trade up to maybe grab Penix before somebody else does? But
yeah.
The Jets at 10.
Well, yeah.
Or like if McCarthy is still there, a team would jump up. Maybe Minnesota.
See, I think Minnesota's trading up before that. Like, I think they could even go even higher
maybe.
To go for Drake May, I feel
possibly.
Like.
Well, they're not because freaking New England is taking those three picks.
They seem
set.
Like they want to trade back from everything I've heard.
They'd be stupid to do that, but that's just me.
That's how they operate, though. They haven't changed much, even with Belichick gone.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know what? We'll see. I hear they love Jaden Daniels, and apparently Daniels wants to go there. So we'll see. He didn't like his Washington meeting. Let's get to the you better than that, which I gotta make a drop for that at some point. I gotta get to that. Speedy, you go first. What's your you better than?
Well,
that?
We'll just make fun of things we discussed yesterday with a guy that's a guy that we love to make fun of because he says stupid things all the time. Draymond Green with like three different things this week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first there was the Bob Myers comes out and says, "Oh, the video of Draymond Green punching Jordan Poole should have never been leaked." For one thing, well, yeah, maybe your player shouldn't punch your teammates, and now Jordan Poole. Gone and they gave him the money, but now he's gone. Then you got him taking shots at Zach Edey for scoring 30 for giving up on the team. Like, okay, he struggled in the second half early in the second half of the national championship game, fine. I'm not saying that UConn didn't do well at exposing him with some of their crafty dunks that they had and stuff like that, fine. But he had 37 of the team's 60 points. He did not give up on him in the game. And then he complains at the NBA refereeing where, oh, Austin Reeves, he fouls Austin Reeves and he looked like he elbowed him and you want to give him a double standard. Yeah, there's a reason for that, Draymond. So yeah, saying all those stupid things all at once, all in 1 week. Good job, Draymond Green. I want to say you're better than that, but I don't know if he actually is. Yeah.
Mine, it goes to AEW. And they tried to, basically, they showed actual footage of the CM Punk situation that happened at Wembley Stadium last year. And we watched it. And I watched it and I said to myself, okay, Punk came out with this earlier in the week with Alex Helwani on an interview. And he went word for word about what happened. He literally said, I didn't knock anybody out. I didn't punch anyone. I pushed somebody. I choked him for a minute. And I was pushed away, and I told Tony Khan, you're a clown, I quit. Every single thing that he said was in that footage. Literally choked out Jungle Jack Perry, was restrained, and told Tony Khan, you're a clown, I quit. There was literally, so the footage that, it was literally everything that Punk said in the interview. So, like, were we expecting, like, it to be a lie? We were expecting it to be a lie from CM Punk. Like, oh, he really knocked, he flipped tables, he knocked the guy over, he threw this. And meanwhile, he said in the interview, I don't want to throw any of my friends at the company under the bus because I don't want to get anybody in trouble. Yet, meanwhile, the footage shows Malachi Black walking in the footage and Samoa Joe restraining CM Punk. You're throwing your talent under the bus by doing that. You accomplished nothing. It was stupid. It was moronic. There was no point of it. CM Punk didn't lie. He's not in your company anymore. Go away. And then you have Adam Copeland come out and do a rah-rah speech the week before. Then you piss all over the speech. Why? Tony Khan, AEW, you're better than that. That was stupid. That was circa WCW 2000. Idiots. Don't forget you can check out all the other great shows that we have here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network, such as the Sports Loud Mouth with Errol Marks and Speedy Petey and Sean Smith every Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m.
And whatever Sean wants to actually show up.
And whatever Sean wants to show up. Don't forget to check out the Weekend Crunch with Errol and Speedy at 7 p.m. on 103.9 FM, the LI News Radio Network, or after the New York Islanders play. You can check out The Wise Guy. You can check out The Betting Show. Whenever the herd is coming back.
Yeah, they still haven't said anything yet.
So we'll see. But we're here. By the way, great new website, by the way. WorldwideSportsRadio.com, Facebook, X, what we know as Twitter, YouTube, Periscope, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Podbean. Well, so much. And you can check out, I don't know if you search Speedy, on our, we have a website now, the Game On website. I believe it's on the WorldwideSportsRadioNetwork.com website. So you can check out our website. I made a website for the show.
Very nice.
So I did that. I was told to do it. And then an hour after I did it, so-and-so said, you didn't have to do that. I said, you could have done it. And I said, no, you don't. I won't get into it. Speedy, thank you for filling in for Eric this week. It was a pleasure. Always fun chatting with you and catching up with you, my man. Mm-hmm. Yes. Enjoy your weekend. It's jam-packed, man. It's a lot of baseball, basketball, hockey. It's a lot of stressful weekend, man. Stress with the Rangers. We'll see about the Knicks. The Mets, you know, being the Braves 2-3. We didn't even get into that. Yeah. Which is crazy. Didn't see that happening. Yeah.
They might have scored 16 runs all last week, and they scored 16 yesterday.
We're getting to, watching the Masters. We'll do, a little bit of that next week. And that's a jam-packed weekend. So enjoy your weekend, Speed. Enjoy a lot of sports this weekend, man. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. I'll be taking my son to soccer tomorrow, 11:30. I would just like it. It's 70 degrees every day during the week. And then, of course, tomorrow it's 50 degrees. It would just be nice on a Saturday. Just could it be 50 and 70 and sunny?
I don't think you're the first one that complains about inconsistent weather patterns.
Well, I mean, look, I don't care. Just be sunny and 70 and sunny. come on. The kid's 2.5 years old. He's playing soccer. I mean, he loves it. So it's fine. It's warm enough for me. Please.
Fair enough.
Speedy, have a great weekend. Enjoy it. We'll talk to you all next week. Thank you so much to the fans. So for Eric Bowe, for Speedy Petey, I'm Josh Silberg. Have a good weekend, everybody. Enjoy all the sports. We'll talk to you then. This has been Game On Live on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.